Oh, I know. All right, if you would, turn to the book of Genesis. How many of you know where the book of Genesis is? Just making sure. Right before. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15 for our thoughts this morning. Genesis chapter 15. And I want us to start with verse 7. Genesis 15 and verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of the great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass, that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Canaanites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Wow. Say that fast. Let's pray. Father, break the bread of life. Ask your blessing upon it. Ask you to give me the words to say and bring to my memory those things, Lord, that you laid on my heart to speak, say. May I preach with boldness and authority your truths. Father, I pray that your people will be encouraged through your word this morning. Lord, I pray if there's one here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray they'll be saved before it's too late. So, Father, may you receive the honor and glory this morning. And, Father, we worship you in spirit and in truth this morning, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. This morning I want to speak to you a little bit on the subject of an inheritance conversation. Now, as you know, everybody knows that Abram is Abraham. His name was later changed. And Abraham was from the land of Ur in the Chaldees. And God called Abraham to leave Chaldees, where he had lived his entire life, to follow him, and he promised that he would give him a son, and he would also make a mighty nation out of his descendants. And Israel was born. Now, what I'm wanting you to see this morning is, y'all will all agree with me that Abraham was a man of faith. He was on a journey of faith. And everybody here knows that we are to what? Walk in faith and not by sight. Now, as we read this, we tend to think, well, Abraham must be having some issues with his faith because he's wondering, well, where is this son, God, that you promised me? And as far as this land that you're going to make into a nation with all my descendants, where is it? Well, understand, he's been following the Lord for quite some time. And at this time, there was still no son. There was still no land, no Canaan, if you will. So, naturally, he would begin to kind of wonder. But that doesn't mean that he lacked faith and that he didn't trust God. We're to always trust God, no matter the circumstance. In fact, how does the Bible define faith? Well, over in Hebrews 11, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And you and I, as born-again children of God, God expects us to have faith. Amen? Without it, according to Hebrews chapter 11, we can't please God. Amen? He that cometh to God must believe that He is and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we have to have faith. So God appears to Abraham, and of course, what a relationship. You see, God and Abraham fellowshipped. And not only was it a close fellowship, Abraham was called the friend of God. I wonder if God can call me and you friends. I would like to think. But Abraham had a close walk. So, with that said, let's get into the message. Let's go to verse 7. And it says, "And he said unto him," this is God speaking, "I am the Lord." First thing I want to bring to your attention, isn't it good that you know the Lord? Isn't it good that He's revealed Himself to you? Amen. I am the Lord. And by the way, I am. That's God's personal name. I am means the self-existent one. Also, the good thing about I am is God's character is redemptive in nature. You see, God didn't have to redeem His creation after it fell in the garden, but because of His grace and His love for His creation, He developed a plan to redeem us. And He was going to use Abraham to bring forth a nation in which His only begotten Son would come into the world to redeem His creation. What a Savior. What a God. I am the Lord. And by the way, there's no greater comfort in knowing the Lord is with you every step of the way. He's with you. You can count on Him. He says, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees." Now, when we think of Abraham and him being raised in a pagan, sinful, Gentile place, we think, wow. Why would God even bother? And that's where the grace of God comes in. You see, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And here's Abraham. Had He left him there, he'd have continued to have lived in sin, worshipped false idols. But He didn't. In His grace and His mercy, He brought him out. Why? Again, through grace, by the act of what? Faith, God considered him righteous. You see, Paul said in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham didn't stagger at the promises of God in unbelief. He staggered not. But how many times have we staggered? Lots of times, huh? You say, you're a preacher. You've staggered the promises of God? Hey, you know what? This book right here is all about God's promises. And I've read and I've studied those promises. But you know what? Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, even though I know this is God's Word and it's true, and He don't break promises, and we got those promises that we can rely on, there's times I still want assurance. How about you? I want evidence, tangible evidence, so that my faith is where it's supposed to be. Anybody else have that issue? We all do. He says, I'm the Lord God that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. As I said just a moment ago, the reason he called Abraham was not because Abraham deserved it. He called Abraham because Abraham, with his faith, was considered righteous, and it was through Abraham's seed that the only begotten Son of God would come into the world. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful he proposed that Abraham would have a son? And by the way, he wasn't a spring chicken, and neither was his wife. They were way past childbearing age. In fact, don't you imagine when God finally allowed Sarah to come bearing a child, that all of the gossip that was going on in the tents of Abraham? How? Oh my goodness. No, she just thinks she's pregnant. No, she was pregnant. She laughed. When the angel said she was going to bear a child, she laughed. And the angel says, this ain't a joke. Amen. And as sure as he told her when and where it happened. Because that's how God is. Just as God told Abraham, listen, you're going to inherit this land. But of course, Abraham is human. He wanted assurance. Look at what it says. The next verse. It says, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? A lot of folks will say, well, he didn't have no faith there. He had faith, but he wanted assurance. How many of us here this morning want God's assurance? Especially concerning our salvation. That we ain't never going to trip and lose it. We want the eternal security. An assurance that because we came and received Christ into our heart, that we are forever saved and can never be lost again. There's so many out there. I feel sorry for them that believe you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. Listen, I've been preaching quite a while. The Lord reminded me last weekend was 37 years been in the ministry, my anniversary. I wouldn't take the gospel to anyone across the street from me if I thought, if I took it to them, they kneeled down, they asked Christ into their heart, before I got back across the street, they could lose it. Think about that for a second. I wouldn't. Listen, once God saves you, you are saved. You're never going to have to be saved again. And I feel sorry for those that just can't take God at His word. God don't break promises. Man does. Abraham said, now Lord, not have to doubt you. But Lord, I need a little assurance. Well, we all do from time to time, don't we? That's right, sister. We all need assurance. And then notice what God does in the next verse. And the Lord said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Now, notice, God's going to give Abraham his answer. But he's first going to offer a sacrifice unto God. He's first going to worship God because, after all, God is worthy of our worship. He's worthy. And let me just say, you know, sometimes when it comes to worship, and we know we're to reverence God, we know we're to worship Him, but when it comes to true worship, sometimes I think we lack. You know why? Because we don't always worship Him in complete obedience and submission. You see, if you truly want to worship God, reverence God, and have God bless you, then you have to worship Him His way, and it must be by submission and obedience. You see, the next verse tells us that Abraham did everything that God commanded him to do. Everything. God instructed him what to bring, and he made sure he went to the letter of what the Lord said. How about us this morning? Sometimes I think we just kind of go through the motions. We say we're worshiping God. I pray your heart, my heart, is where it's supposed to be. But I'm going to tell you, if you're just going through the motions, that's all you're doing is going through the emotion of worship. But it's not worship. There's got to be a sacrifice. That's our obedience and submission. And by the way, God expects it. So Abraham, look at the next verse. All of these, and he sacrifices them, and it says, and he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. Well, I'm going to tell you, a dove and a pigeon, there ain't a lot to them. You don't want to divide them. But look at the next verse. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now he does exactly what God tells him to do. He divides it. He lays them next, pieces next to one another. And notice the old fowls of the air. Come down. Anybody ever been in the field and see the old buzzards? Yeah, there's an old cow dead there or something dead. They let you know. But here, these old fowls come down. These birds, if you will, come down. And Abraham dutifully is shooing them away. But let me tell you what the birds represent. Birds, the fowl of the air, if you will, represents the old enemy that's trying his hardest to keep you and I from being obedient and serving God. Every day he attacks us. He doesn't want us to serve God. He doesn't want us to be obedient. But here is Abraham standing over that, guarding the sacrifice. When is the last time you and I have guarded against the old devil? You see, he don't want us close to God. In fact, I'll prove it. Now, we're in the house of God, so don't lie. Please, don't lie. How many here this morning thinking about what you're going to eat after we dismiss? How many of you thinking about the game that's coming on TV after? Few? None? Okay, well, I'm proud of you there. How many of you think about, man, I can hardly wait till I get to the lake? What a hook. Well, beloved, that's the old devil. He's telling you, dwell on these things. Don't dwell on being obedient. Don't dwell on being reverent to God. Don't do that. Abram is guarding against the fowls of the air. I want to encourage you, guard yourself. The old devil will come when you least expect him. And not only will he come when you least expect him, he's going to if you are the Lord's child. He's not going to leave you alone. When I was a lost man, the devil never bothered me. Amen? He never bothered me. Why? He didn't have to. I was doing everything he wanted me to do anyway. But then I got saved. The Lord made a difference in my life. Changed my way of thinking and living. And since that time, he's right there. You see the old TV shows, cartoons with the devil sitting on one side? Yeah, he's there. Did God really say that? Oh, he doesn't. You've lived a long time. You've preached for a while now. Go out and have some fun. It ain't going to matter. It matters. You're right, sister. It does matter. But my point is, Abraham was shooing the fowls away. Look at the next verse. And when the sun was going down, here he's still on guard, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. We get tired sometimes, don't we? Got sleepy. And it wasn't just a regular, I'm going to take a little 10-minute power nap. It was a deep sleep. It fell upon him, and lo, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Now, a couple things. You and I, as believers, cannot afford to sleep on God. He's counting on us. Because there are those out there that unless we stand and point them to the light, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're going to perish. And secondly, darkness. We live in a world full of darkness. Amen? It is dark. Everywhere you look, it's darkness. Folks, you should never be spiritually, alone in the dark. It's very dangerous. Darkness is dangerous for a child of God. But listen to what God does here. This is what caught my attention. He says, and great darkness fell upon him. Now while he's asleep, this horror, this great darkness, during his sleep, God is dealing with Abraham. He's speaking to Abraham through his sleep, a dream, a vision. And just let me say this before we move on. Sometimes we do go through darkness. We have our mountains, our valleys, and we wonder sometimes, God, what is the purpose of this? Why am I going through this? Well, the reason you might be going through it is, one, to increase your faith in God, and maybe God's trying to share some truth with you. It always drives a preacher nuts when people will come up and say, "Preacher, I don't know what God's trying to tell me." Well, why do you think I would know? Why would you even think that? Listen, He's speaking to you. He's not speaking to me. Ask God to share the truth with you. Get in His Word, and I assure you, you'll get your answer. Amen? And He says, and He said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Abraham's asking God, "How, Lord? When am I going to inherit this land? When are you going to let me inherit what you promised me?" And through this dream, God is speaking to Abraham, and He gives him a prophecy about the nation of Israel from the descendants of Abraham would one day be taken into captivity in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. But even though they were in bondage for 400 years, God still watched over them and protected them. And when His time, and it's God's time, in His timing, He brought them out. Because you can depend on God. Now, notice, Abraham in this dream finds out that his descendants are going to be taken in as slaves in Egypt. But listen, Abraham wasn't going to be taken in bondage. But it was his great-grandson Joseph. And by the way, God always provides for his. It's through Joseph that Israel, even though they were in bondage, they were spared famine and calamity. Because that's how God is. And notice what it says, verse 14. "And also that nation whom they shall serve," speaking of Egypt, "will I judge." Did God judge Israel? Egypt, I'm sorry. Yes, He judged Egypt severely. And one day He's going to judge the world severely for the rejection of His grace in His Son. "And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with a great substance." Well, after 400 years, Moses came mediator between God and Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," speaking for God. And Pharaoh, according to the word of God, his heart just kept hardening and hardening. God would add plague after plague. Each time his heart would harden, And then the last plague, death of the firstborn. That kind of got his attention. And he said, "Take your people." Moses said, "By the way, we want this, and we want that, and we want this, and we want that." And they all came out. Do you know why they took all that substance? So that they could become the nation that they are today. Tell me God isn't in control and sovereign. Then it says, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age." Now, he's still asleep and God's still speaking to him. He tells him about Israel being in bondage to Egypt. And then he says, but you, Abraham, you're going to live a good old life. And you're going to be buried in a good place. And you're not going to have anything to worry about. You know, we think to ourselves, wow, Abraham had it made. You and I have it made. He's promised us we're going to live for eternity. He's promised us we are going to live in a place where He dwells. Those of us have trusted Him as our Lord and Savior. And He says, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. And thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But look at verse 16. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Two things. Fourth generation. 400 years. Confirmation. How long was Israel in bondage to Egypt? 400 years. Four generations. And then notice what he said. For the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Now, the Amorites were in Canaan. You see, God was giving grace to the Amorites, hoping that maybe through those 400 years they'd get their act together and repent and follow Him. If they didn't, they would face judgment. Just like the Amorites, God bestowing grace to them, today is the day of grace for you and us. All of us. The world. Today is the day of grace. But understand, one day, grace is going to run out. And there will be nothing left but judgment. And that judgment is going to fall on every man and woman, boy and girl, that reject Jesus Christ and His atoning work on the cross for salvation. That's what's going to happen. And then he says, and it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. How many of you have gone through some dark times in your Christian walk? We all have, haven't we? If you haven't, just wait around. It's coming. It'll be here. You're going to face some dark times. Someday we're going to be in Canaan. We're on the mountain. Boy, everything's going fine. And I love that mountaintop experience, but it sure spooks me. You know why? Because I know that the valley's coming. I'm going to eventually get in the valley. But listen, it's for my good. It's to make me look to God. Keep the faith. Follow God. So, it says, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Well, that smoking lamp, burning furnace. It was God that passed through the sacrifice. And those are the characteristics of God. You see, furnace represents judgment in the Word of God. And of course, that light represents God's love and grace for us. You see, He offers light. He offers light through the atoning death of His Son. And if you ask Him to save you, He'll save you. He wants to save you. That's the whole purpose of Jesus coming into the world. But listen to me. If you choose not to, you will face God's judgment. appointed unto man wants to die. After this, the judgment. I was smart enough to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to take my judgment. I hope you have. But if not, know that you will one day face the judgment of God. It goes on to say, and in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Folks, if you'll look on a map, better yet, if you've ever been to Israel, it's not very big. God gave Israel a whole lot more than what you have there today. A whole lot more. But the point is, God confirmed a covenant He made. Okay, you need assurance, Abraham? This is the assurance. He has also made a covenant concerning our salvation. He sent His Son into the world to atone for our sins, and He offers us eternal life through Christ's sacrifice. And it's a covenant that you can depend on. You don't ever have to worry about it being untrue. You see, that covenant of salvation isn't based upon your merit or my merit, your good works or my good works. It's based upon God and His Word. Can you trust Him? Oh, He can trust Him. But the question is, can He trust us? That's the question. You see, Abraham, read that hero chapter of Hebrews 11. I tell you what, heroes of the faith. Abraham's mentioned quite a bit in that chapter. You see, it was counted as righteousness unto Abraham. Not his works or his merit, but his faith. The Word of God declares the just shall live by faith. You say, well, what is faith, Brother John? Well, I gave you the biblical definition. But all faith is trust. Do you trust Him? You can. There's no reason not to. But I'll tell you who you can't trust. And that's the old enemy. Satan will lie to you. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's out to get you. One, if you're not saved, he wants to keep you from ever giving your heart to Jesus. And if you are saved, he wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to take away what God wants to bless you with. So, can you trust the Lord? Have you trusted the Lord this morning? You've got faith? Or does it sometimes feel like, where is my faith? Y'all ever been there? Yeah. Got questions and seem to be no answers? You ever been there? We all have. Here's my last question. Are you sure you're saved? Have you been to the cross? Have you asked the Lord to save you? You repented of sin and exercised faith in what He accomplished on the cross. Only you can answer that question. If there's a need, please come to the Lord. He can take care of it. How many of you believe that? Amen. Stand with me, please, and bow your heads.